All the families who've lost loved ones. Unfortunately, there have been fatalities as a consequence of Hurricane Sandy, and it's not clear that we've counted up all the fatalities at this point. This is a tough time for a lot of people, millions of folks all across the Eastern Seaboard, but America's tougher, and we're tougher because we pull together. We leave nobody behind.
So far, 50 people dead as a result of Sandy. What a way to kick this off. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hope you're doing well in those other nooks and crannies. A very rough time for a lot of people as they realized that what's around them is destroyed. The aftermath is something else. The pictures couldn't be more dramatic from North Carolina all the way up to Maine. It really was just that bad. In Atlantic City, I'm telling you, as many times that I have walked that boardwalk, the last being just 3 months ago, some of the places that we went to are no longer there. Forget the soft serve and some of the other restaurants that were staples because they are gone. And in the meantime, Atlantic City's mayor is in a little bit of a war of words with Governor Christie in the middle of this, saying that that Christie was misinformed and ill-advised. He didn't like being crucified nationally by Christie, who criticized the Atlantic City mayor as a rogue mayor for encouraging people to ride out the storm in shelters rather than just completely leave them. So Lorenzo Langford certainly turned up the heat in the middle of the time when New Jersey is crashing on both ends, the south and the north, because of this devastation. But he said that he would love to confront the mayor mano a mano on how he handled the evacuation during Sandy. He was on one of the morning shows and said that Atlantic City people got mixed messages from, you know, his executive order that required everyone to evacuate and his and Langford's encouragement to take over instead. So what Christie said was, I feel badly for the people in that city who listened to him and stayed there, and my anger has turned to sympathy for the people. We're in the middle of trying to go in and save them right now. But Langford denied that characterization, saying that he didn't know, like I just said. So you got to have controversy in the middle of this. On the other hand, Chris Christie, who constantly slams Obama on the campaign trail as he's big friends with Romney and he's a Republican and wants to see Romney elected, has said that the president has done a great job of coming through for not just New Jersey, but all of the states and trying to get them aid as soon as possible and leaning on the people who are in the position to make that happen quickly. Because of the amount of damage that we're talking about, it's going to take a long time to pull some of these towns, I fear, back together again with the debris in the road and the houses that are buried in sand and the floods, just having everything recede and pumping some of the places out that have to have that happen to clear it up. It is nasty. We've got the death toll at this point, as I already mentioned, 50 people. Can you imagine? If I had said to you a week ago, geez, I was watching the Weather Channel, they keep talking about this perfect storm, Sandy, and might be big and could come in North Carolina. You know, are you thinking about, wow, 50 people dead and $50 billion in damage? We don't know the exact amount. It started $20 billion, and it slowly is creeping up because the realization is this is a lot worse than we really thought when we looked at it. really didn't realize how devastating this has been to some townships and suburbs that are just wiped out. Not a little damage, a lot of damage. Lots of people waiting for power, waiting it out in shelters. Maybe for a week, some of them that had to be in shelters. A pocket area near Teterboro Airport. That's what they're doing. They can't go back to their houses because of the flood. You have jet skiers riding around the neighborhoods. Wow. So it is now about disaster funding. FEMA. The FEMA administrator, Craig Fugate, told people earlier in the week that the agency has $3.6 billion to pay for the response to Sandy. $3.6 billion is nowhere near going to cut it. So will there be additional money when the total cost of the storm is actually out there and known? Remember last time, last summer, during Hurricane Irene, they had to suspend some of the payments related to the other disasters in order to somehow close the gap. And there was a nasty throwdown in Congress over whether more money should be there to offset with cuts elsewhere. They should have the money to pony up that. And reputation is everything, isn't it? And how the response is to this federal disaster, I think, couldn't be bigger for the incumbent president who's trying to get another 4 years. So the president has canceled campaign stops, stopped the events, and made some public statements on Sandy. And because of the fact that he was swift for the places that have been hit the worst by this wide swath of damage, including New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, because of that, he gets a little bit of a bump. Even in some rolling polls, he's seeing that. Believe it or not. And the Gallup said they're not going to do daily tracking anymore. And the damage wasn't just to New Jersey or Pennsylvania. I'll say it again. You can really look at a map. North Carolina, they had problems all the way up to Maine. So the trail of devastation, the stories, the tragedies, the bad decisions, the good decisions, that's what's starting to flow from the east. The craziest thing was to see the Seaside Park roller coaster in the Atlantic Ocean. In the Atlantic Ocean. Can you imagine? There was a story of a woman in New York who had to dive and swim out of her house's front window with her 8-year-old daughter. In West Virginia, they're digging out of 3 feet of snow. Perfect might not be the right word for this storm. A pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
And ends on a few other things, because believe it or not, it's terrible with the Sandy stuff, but there are other things that are also happening that I want to weave into this show. Also, coming back in our next segment, we're going to talk to Joan Bauer about how tough it is mentally to wrap your head around this. She's stuck in Chicago and her home is in Brooklyn, and what do people do? How do they get themselves going in the right direction? You know, it's that whole thing of, have you ever seen anyone when they're always in control and everything's smooth, and the second a horrible curveball is thrown their way because they're not used to it, they're stuck. They just don't know how to get out of it. So we're going to talk to her about her own situation and in New York and trying to get back there, and also what people tend to do when life explodes in unforeseen circumstances, and this would be one of those, really. So, FEMA, what's going to happen to the Federal Emergency Management Agency? They have enough money to do the initial hit on Sandy, but they don't have the other money. So they've got about $878 million in cuts if Congress fails to avoid the sequester. So you got people from both parties who said they hope to prevent the automatic cuts across the board, which will kick in January. But there is no agreement. There is no even close to agreement. There is no let's go have a muffin in the basement and talk about it and maybe we can get both sides to agree. No. So the FEMA budget is going to be a hot topic to talk about. Right now, the Prez and Romney aren't saying anything about it. It's not something they're going to talk about because they can't very well do that in the middle of this disaster today or tomorrow, but they could bring it up coming up right before Election Day. I mean, they could bring it up now, but it doesn't seem likely. So FEMA's director, who I mentioned before, Fugate, was telling the scribes, the reporters, that they've got $3.6 billion to pay for the response. But what about more money for the storm? What happens then? And remember, there was a problem with Irene. They had to suspend some of the money, some of the payments to previous disasters to cover the gap. So, boy, can you imagine if you were like in Alabama and your area, Tuscaloosa, was slammed by the twister and, all right, we applied for our funds, we got them, we need them because we got to do this. Look at the swath of destruction. And in the middle of that, sorry, you're going to have to wait for that payment. You're going to have to wait for that. So this could actually get ugly on FEMA funding. Turn to private business. Somebody's got to help. What do we do? I mean, this is massive, $50 billion. And it could be higher than that. I mean, it could be lower, but I think it's going to be 50 or more. All you have to do is spend 10 minutes. Just spend 10 minutes. You tell me what your guesstimate is. And Google some of these images, or watch on the tube some of the overhead shots of Atlantic City, of Seaside Heights, of, you know, name it, anywhere in New York City and Long Island, you know, parts of Maine. You'll see how devastating it is out there. So, boy, that would be a bummer, wouldn't it? More than a bummer. If you were living right next to all this shattered stuff and part of your yard was shattered and your neighborhood was torn up and you can't really put yourself back together again. Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall and oh so sorry. We are not repairing Humpty Dumpty. You're gonna have to wait. Jeez. Hope you got some men folk who have strong sources and know how to go and get the stuff done and can figure it out on the cheap. Because no one wants to live in that state. That's what it is. It's living in a state of chaos. So a disaster hits, your house burns down, the roller coaster from the boardwalk is in your backyard, the boat from the neighbor five streets over is in your garage. You got a deal. You are living in chaos. And the only way to get life back on track is to get out of that chaos. And this is when you need your government to help get you out of that chaos. Yes, you can do some things on your own, and neighbors can organize, and of course they're going to do that. But the money that we're talking about, boy, this may just force Congress to act. They might have to make some decisions because they can't let this dangle. And the timing is interesting. With an election less than a week to go, who's thinking this is happening? It would be awful. I think of myself if I were in this situation with my neighbors with lots of kids. You don't want the kids to be in the shelter for weeks on end, for what, months on end? Of course you can't have that anyway. So the money to get these areas back on their feet, incredibly vital. I mean, incredibly vital. What do you think? What do you think Congress should do? This is what you call a real dilemma. There's a real rub here, to say the least. Think about this. AmericaTonight.net or 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. 5283, talking about this massive storm and some of the other elements of it that maybe some people aren't thinking about. While they're waiting for their power to go up and staying someplace else, and you got toppled trees up and down your street, your cul-de-sac, man, you want to get out of that chaos. You want to help your neighbors, but you have got to get out of the chaos to get back on track again. to get school lunches made, to have school open, to go to school, to go to work. It's like the flights. How many flights? That kind of got lost in the sauce. In the beginning, not, but because of everything else that's happened. So flights have been canceled, thousands and thousands of flights. Now trying to get people back to somewhere and re-racking that, really, you're kind of on your own. It's like the Wild West. If your flight was canceled, you got to figure out a way to get yourself out of where you were. You don't want to be, you know, you're stranded at this point, hopefully stranded in a hotel. But hotels in some cases were pretty scarce. I mean, maybe the good news is a change fee is waived. What does that set you back? $150? But still, you got to find. You might have to find a flight on another airline because you can't get. You've got other things that are booked up. And if you cancel your booking, you might get a voucher, but the airline won't pay for a hotel room, by the way, or food if you're stranded because of weather. So the people who are stranded because of weather, including our next guest, the airline's not going to pay for extra days there. That's not how it works. If it's their fault, they'll pay for it, but not they're not going to pony up any of the money for a hurricane, tropical disaster, any of that. That's not happening. Boy, some people probably are really finding that their patience is being tested to the ultimate boundaries of how to respond. How to respond because of the Sandy superstorm. That's when you're happy when you've got a friend that's a travel agent because you let them figure it out for you. I'm trapped. Help me. Help me. What can you do to help us? And speaking of help, have other countries offered to help? We haven't heard any of those countries yet. I'm assuming that'll come out. I tried to find that today, even shot a note to the White House, but they're overrun with what's happening on the ground with Sandy. But are any of our friends, our allies, offering to help should we need it in this cleanup process? Stay with us in the wings, Joan Bauer.
Here it comes, another cold and flu season. Get ready for it and save now during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't be without powerful natural flu fighters like elderberry power capsules. They support the immune system and they have antiviral properties. Another powerful antiviral is olive leaf capsules, highly recommended by Herbal Healer Academy. Also on sale is Physician Strength Oregacillin, a savior for the lungs. It fights bacteria, virus, and fungus. Our famous four herb capsules are a gentle liver cleanser and can be taken daily. Also featured this winter are the homeopathic detoxes, liver, kidney, lung, lymph, whole body, and brain detox on sale. And remember, as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, floods, all sorts of natural disasters happen. Some of you are ready.
Some are not.
MySurvivalGoods.com gets you ready. Think basics. Do you have a home first aid kit, a car emergency kit, a basic urban survival kit? MySurvivalGoods.com has kits. Then the big stuff. Ready for system interruptions caused by natural or man-made disasters, terrorism, government collapse, social chaos?
Are you ready to bug out?
Could you survive off the grid for a minimum of 3 days like FEMA says?
Well, don't count on FEMA.
Count on high-quality kits from MySurvivalGoods.com. Check out our large selection of emergency kits for cars, homes, schools, and office, and bug-out bags, first aid and flu kits, emergency water and food. Even build your very own custom emergency kit. 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Go to MySurvivalGoods.com now. That's MySurvivalGoods.com. Don't delay. Prepare today.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey Water Filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey Water Filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey Water Filters with Wise Foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com. Or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-B-E-R-K-E-Y. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
Are you or someone that you love struggling to reclaim your health? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, CEO of RNADrops.com. In 2008, I struggled with chronic fatigue syndrome, PTSD, and Lyme's. I thought that all hope was gone as I lost everything in the process. In 2009, a miracle happened. I discovered Ion and RNA drops. 2 months after taking RNA drops, the chronic fatigue and the PTSD had vanished into thin air. I'd like to invite you to discover RNA drops by visiting www.rnafreemini.com today. That's rnafreemini.com today. Listen to hours of testimonials and get a free trial bottle. Pay only shipping and handling by visiting www.rnafreemini.com
or give us a call at 1-888-550-8231. That's 888-550-8231. Hurry, supplies are limited.
Tonight we've been talking about the storm named Sandy that there's just no adjective I can come up with other than the ones you've heard so many times. Unthinkable, devastating, shocking. It was on the radar. We knew it had the definite potential to be the perfect storm, and sure enough it was. You see the houses in Seaside Heights, I've mentioned them now a couple of times, buried in sand, people stranded, just unbelievable what's happened in New York, the waves that they saw, and ultimately people evacuated from one of the hospitals, including a newborn baby. It shows you the resilience, however, of people, which I think is so awe-inspiring. Joining us to talk about that is Joan Bauer. She's an award-winning, best-selling author of 11 books. 11 books, this lady's been busy. And her newest one is Almost Home, but she's not almost home right now because Joan is from Brooklyn and she is in Chicago right now. Joan, so here you are watching New York and seeing what's happening there. Had to be a strange feeling for you because you're not on home turf, right?
I am not. I am trying to get on home turf, and it's probably not going to be for a few more days, but it is just, you know, to see these landmarks that I have walked that I know so well and to see them just, you know, filled up. It's a very eerie experience. Very, very hard. It's just my heart goes out to people. I get communiques from our congressman in Brooklyn, you know, about people in shelters, and yet these remarkable, you know, people who are on high ground and doing well, bringing hot meals, you know, giving their time to, you know, make sure the shelters are running well and all of it. It's crazy. It's just crazy, and it's scary.
I think it is scary, too, because, you get lulled into your everyday life, and you're just clicking and going along. We live in the world of technology, and we're just doing our thing, and then, poof, suddenly, we get the ultimate curveball. And this is the ultimate curveball, which for some people will be very tough to handle, because it could mean massive change, whether they have to completely rebuild a house, or sadly, people have died in this. 48 people so far, and the number is climbing. So there are a lot of different things that people, in a sense, will be grieving over. And how, when something like this happens, a natural disaster, it is like any other grieving process, isn't it?
Okay, you are absolutely right. And I think one of the things that people have to understand is to allow that grief to come. Now, certainly, sometimes you have to act immediately, and you can't have necessarily time at that moment to do it, but you have to face it, because that's really the first step in being able to step away from it. But the loss is going to be, profound in many, many ways, and it's going to take so much time to build things back. So, patience also is going to be a huge part of this.
Oh, patience. You talk about having patience, and no matter whatever the situation is, which everybody's situation will be different in this aftermath, people will say, and I'm sure you've heard this in audiences and in people that have read your books and all that other kind of stuff, where they'll say, I can't control it. I have no way to deal with it. I'm just going to kind of shrink back into a shell. How do people, I call it digging deep, but how do people dig deep and bounce back out of this?
Exactly. Yeah, no, that's, I like that term, dig deep. I think the first thing that we just have to just hang up sort of as a banner over this entire thing is for people to realize that giving up never works. It just doesn't. It has never worked. And avoidance, in terms of doing some of the things you know you need to do, avoidance makes things worse. So I think that somehow people need to get a hold, and families need to get a hold of, a new motto, which is, we are going to get through this. It's going to take time, but we're going to get through it. And I think one of the ways that we have to do that is, nobody's been through a storm like this before. So, it's not like, people can kind of come out of, come from different states and say, this is what you do. Certainly we have some similarities there, but for the most part, this really is the perfect storm, and it's never hit like this before. But I think people have got more strength than we know. And the way you dig deep is to go back over some really tough stuff that you've had to deal with in your life and remember that. And it's almost like it becomes a link in a chain. And it's easy to say, well, I've never done this before. Ah, but you've done this and this and this and this. And that opened the door to more courage, and that opened the door to more strength, and that opened the door to more instinct. And yeah, now you're in front of yet a new one. But all those things that you've already learned how to do are still inside of you. And we've got to hold on to those things and teach our kids how to do it, too.
Yeah. And when so well said. So when you, as you realize that and you build those blocks and things that you've overcome before, are you building up resiliency then?
I think you absolutely are. You absolutely are. Because resiliency is the best illustration I've ever heard is of a basketball. When you put a basketball down, and if it bounces back up, that's resilient. If it doesn't have enough air, it's going to kind of lie there. But it's not that we fall down. It's not that bad things happen, because they just plain do what we do next. It's what we do next.
Yeah.
And I think that is just somehow to write that across your eyeballs, that it's what's the next step now for me to take. Viktor Frankl, who was a Swiss psychiatrist, he spent 3 years in Auschwitz. What he saw and what he lived in was horrific. But one of the things he asked himself repeatedly was, what is the meaning for me in this situation right now? How can I respond in a courageous and a responsible way? That kind of thinking is really powerful. That, to me, that turns the power on in very special ways.
Yeah, well, great reference to Viktor Frankl. I read his book, and it's, I would recommend his book to anyone. I don't know how many gazillion copies have been sold, but just inspiring. So there have been a lot of kids we've seen in this. I saw today a fireman with a young boy on his back. I saw some kids getting off of a truck because they were going to a shelter, and they looked like normal kids. They were bouncing a ball almost as though they didn't realize what was happening. So this is a moment for parents where they can perhaps teach their kids something, right?
I think you're absolutely right. You know, and one of the big lessons is let's look at what's really important. You know, years ago I wrote a book and the grandfather lost his leg in the book. And I wanted to make it really seem real, so I researched it. I went to a big therapy place where they dealt with people who'd lost their legs. And I talked to the director and I said, what is the first thing you do when somebody comes in with half a leg? What's the first thing you say to them? Mm. And the director said, oh, well, we don't talk about what they've lost. We begin to build up the strengths that they already have. We ask them, what have you got? We strengthen that, and then we deal with the loss.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Is it fair to say then, adding on to that, is you just create something new for your family, whatever it is, if you have to move a house, if you have to move somewhere, we saw that from Hurricane Katrina where many families left, some came back, but others established great homes in other places in the country they never thought they'd go to.
You're absolutely right, Kate. That's a great way of putting it, too. And you do. We build a new life on the ruins of the old. And we take the best stuff from there because we have to be in some ways we have to be nomadic, you know. We have to think that, you know, there are going to be a lot of changes in life. And we have to be able to, you know, raise up the best stuff and move on when we need to do that and rebuild when we need to do that. So yeah, that's a powerful lesson for kids to understand and to also not look at things as being the ultimate of what defines us as people or as families, but strength and, you know, watching a parent be able to look at a young child, to be able to look at a family and say, we are going to get through this. We're gonna figure out how to do it. We're gonna talk about our feelings. We're going to get help. We're gonna get really smart and we're not gonna give up. Boy, is that a powerful thing for kids to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. Bringing this around to the beginning again, I said that, you know, it's what's happened is, and I've seen this, I was in New York working at a radio station in New York during 9/11, and it was amazing to me the way people, though, banded, and I know this growing up partially in New York, that people do help people out, but you really, really saw it after 9/11. And I bet you we're going to see this again, and we're already seeing it in the stories that we're being told that are coming out of New York City, people volunteering, helping, and all that kind of stuff. So there is something to that, too. Doesn't that help in the rebuilding process, making yourself feel better just by giving, by helping someone else?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. You know, this is not a time to keep it to yourself. You know, whatever you've learned about getting through hard times, you know, share it with the other people. You know, there are people who need water. There are people who need money. I even think a child could actually draw a picture or write a poem for a kid who has lost their home and send it to a shelter and say, look, I don't, could you give it to somebody who's my age? I just want them to know. I want them to know that I care and that my heart's there with them. And feeling that kind of building up of love and encouragement and support is remarkable. It's not just for the people who need the help. It's for those who are giving it. And that, to move out, what can you do in the community? How can you be part of the solution is huge.
Yeah. Joan Bauer, I hope you get back to New York soon. Thanks for coming on the show.
Appreciate it, Kate. I love speaking with you. Thanks so much.
Thanks. We'll talk to you again. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
What's better than Mountain House freeze-dried food? Buckets of Mountain House freeze-dried food. Now the freeze-dried guy introduces convenient, easy-to-store Mountain House survival buckets filled with our top-selling items. Each item is sealed in a Mylar-type pouch, and each pouch is neatly packed in clear buckets so you can easily see the contents inside. These Mountain House survival buckets come with well over a 25-year shelf life and are perfect for emergency preparedness, camping, backpacking, or at-home use. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on freeze-dried foods, and choose our 12-month, 6-month, 3-month, 1-month, or 7-day Mountain House survival bucket with 32 generous servings starting at just $69.95. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty, thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135. And get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves. Available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Whoa, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, when it came to winning blue ribbon. Well, I bet you taught the other kids how. Well, I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. You took the cutest bow. Yeah, you must have been a beautiful baby. Cause baby, won't you look at you now? Come on, you are like it.
America tonight. Great interview in talking with Joan Bauer. I thought she offered some great suggestions to so many people who find themselves not just in this kind of a situation, but some other devastation. You know, your whole life you worked one place, you climbed up the ladder, and then suddenly, boom, that job goes away. You've never had to deal with job loss or something else where your legs, I call it your legs getting taken out from underneath you, and it's hard to try to piece it back together again. And, you know, the answer to that question is you just got to keep moving one step at a time. Because of Sandy, the one thing that we stopped talking about a little bit here on America Tonight, however, we talked about it a lot leading up to this, is the Libya attack. It's the story that just keeps giving, sadly, more facts that make you want to tear your head out and really feel for the families of Ambassador Stevens and the three others that were slaughtered in Benghazi. Let's not sugarcoat it. That's what happened to them. They were sitting ducks. Finally, a Tunisian man has been arrested in connection with that horrible thing in Libya, and was identified because of a surveillance video that was actually taken during the attack. Didn't you know that there was going to be something that tripped somebody up? So Ali al-Harazi and one other suspect were detained at an airport in Turkey. In the days after the attacks happened, they were just traveling thinking they had made it across. They had skated through with false documents. And now this Harazi has been identified as being someone who was there during the attacks because of the consulate video, which is great. It's great that they actually have somebody in their clutches. And it was thought initially that this was a Libyan extremist group that did this. Harazi was transferred to Tunisia, into Tunisian custody, but U.S. and interrogators haven't been able to get much luck in having access to him, and that's frustrating. Because if they could do that, and they definitely have identified him, that's what we want to see happen. This is classically part of the problem of what happens when you don't have a path to where are you detaining somebody and what are the interrogations. So, the end of Gitmo and the discussion about shutting Gitmo down, there apparently is nothing on the books of where to take somebody and interrogate them so you can get the information. You got to be kidding me. So this is another hole that we've uncovered almost by accident thanks to a terrible situation. So, why can't we get access to him? Why can't we have a conversation with this guy? And the answer is, number one, we don't have a place to detain him. And where that, outside of that area, Benghazi, there were two Predator drones deployed. The first was redirected in eastern Libya, where Al-Qaeda had training camps that were going on and training camps we were watching. The other gets to Benghazi about an hour after the attack started. So that means the first hour of the attack probably, and this is what they're thinking, wasn't fed back to Washington. So there's some confusion there with the drones. And that might have made a huge difference. It would have made a huge difference. So it's kind of unclear as to what would have happened there. Because they say they needed to have good cause to do that. You can't just send them in and they had to have a good cause. It seems as though from step one, things went from bad to worse, from bad to worse in Benghazi. Just awful. All right, speaking of going from worse to better, Mitt Romney now has, if you haven't heard this, has a 7-point lead over Obama. They're starting to see some numbers change with the electoral map. And this is just a Gallup survey that shows that number. If you look at some others, like Real Clear Politics, Romney's ahead with the electoral votes at this point. Obama's had a huge, huge layup advantage over Romney for months, initially in all the projections and all the things that we talked about here on the show. And now, let's see what happens with that funding, the FEMA funding, because that could sway some things in a different direction as people are waiting for money to come in. Let's go to Tomas, who's listening to us in the great state of Michigan. Hey, Tomas.
Hi, Kate. I like the point you made there that Al-Qaeda has training camps in Libya. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
We liberate Libya. Yeah. We liberate them, and then we have our ambassador there. And just like down the road, the Al-Qaeda has their camps there.
Yeah.
We would not let that occur. We would not tolerate that. I wonder why we were tolerating that, Kate. I'm thinking there's been some scuttlebutt out there that the ambassador was in Benghazi to meet with the Turkish representative because they were trying to move some of these arms that Gaddafi had into the hands of the Syrian rebels. And, of course, Al-Qaeda is one of the groups that is fighting in Syria. I don't know whose side.
that's a good one. I'm glad you clarified that. I don't know whose side. Yeah, who knows? Yeah.
But, it could be that we were trying to finagle that whole the enemy of my enemy is my friend thing over there and somehow get the arms to the people who are fighting the Assad government. On the other hand, you never know if the Syrians knew about this. Also, apparently everybody knows everything over there. And, you know, I don't see it too far to imagine a Syrian-Russian intelligence operation where they get a bunch of people together and they kidnap the American ambassador and find out exactly what he's doing. Because, remember, no one knows what happened to the ambassador. He disappeared, and then his body or his half-alive body reappeared. So we don't know what happened.
Right, when he was gone, yeah.
So that's all interesting.
It is, because you don't know what they would have done to him, tortured him, did something else, whatever, and trying to get information and know what went on there. Yes, yeah.
And it could be that the reason we're not hitting anybody is because then somebody would say, hey, well, you know what? We were friends there. Why are you going to attack us now when we had this information? They could show us all these papers that they were working with Al-Qaeda. It could be another Oliver North thing. Last thing that Obama wants is that information getting out this close to the election.
Yes, yeah, I agree, yeah.
Anyway, I think that's enough for me. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Tomas. He made some good points. You know, this is the whole thing. Whether it's Obama or Romney, now you got to protect. If Obama's people, and I think they do, they know that this is tighter than they believe that it would be, but they still, in their minds, say, you know, he's got this edge. Now he's very presidential in the sense that he's telling everybody we're jumping it, we're on the disaster, as he should be, but he's doing it. And there are some other things that are swinging a little in Obama's favor, yet the polls are going the way of Romney, suggesting, even with the early voting in favor of Romney, that people are just don't want to buy what he's selling, maybe because they're so frustrated. But on the other hand, maybe not. Maybe this is just the boost that pushes them through the tunnel at the end, and they're trying to stay steady and not rock it in any way, not have any problems to get to the finish line and then worry about it when he's got his next 4 years. Interesting to think about. Some of your thoughts, AmericaTonight.net.
You just don't get it, do you? You don't. I'm stupid. You're smart.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.